Praise God.
Good morning. How is everybody? Praise God. Amen. That was great worship, very powerful. I want to also thank all you guys for praying for me. And God's renewed my strength here. And I'm all, it's all good. And it was just, I was very dehydrated. So I want to encourage you during that real heat wave we had, you better drink water. Really important. I didn't realize the importance of that. So anyway, I was just, I guess I wasn't drinking enough water. And, I do Uber, so I drive on the roads all night. And I don't know, I was just a little bit weary. I was tired and didn't have enough water in me. And, things happen. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm only, 40. I wish.
No lying.
But praise God. He renews my strength like the eagles, right? So praise the Lord. And I hope you guys had a good 4th of July. And my glasses, I'm sorry. I don't need my Giants hat, not now. Thank you, sir. Huh? You'll burn it for me, thanks. I guess he's not a Giants fan. All right. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. That's all right. Praise God. Okay. I'll take it. I'll take anything I can get. But yeah, you're a fan. Well, I've been a fan like 30, 40 years, so it's gotta pray for my brother. He's a Jets fan. Lord help him. But he's very dedicated. He's, a real diehard guy, so he's loyal anyway. He's loyal. Okay, thank you, Father. All right, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and anoint my lips. Oh God, fill my lips and thank you for what you put in my heart today for your people. I pray that in your name, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, the Lord's, how he does that. He changes your message. Not all the way, but a lot of it. But he wanted me to go to Exodus, talking about Moses, chapter 3. And that's when, the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look at the burning bush. God called him to the midst of the bush, and he cries out, he says, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not draw near to this place, but take your sandals off your feet, for you are on holy ground. Moreover, you said, 'I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac and Jacob.'" And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And it says, "I've surely," this is from the Lord speaking from heaven, "I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good large land flowing of milk and honey, and the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, all the Ites, Hittites, Jebusites. And behold, the cry of Israel has come to me. The children of Israel have come to me, and I have also seen the oppression of the Egyptians that oppress them. Now come now here, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, and you will bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You know, and then, of course, Moses says, well, you know, who am I, oh God? You know, right away he gets the who I am thing. And then he goes, that I should go to Pharaoh and should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he says, I'll be with you and be assigned to you. I have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, shall serve God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, O God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? He says, what shall I say to them? And God said, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am who has sent you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord of God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. And this name is forever and is a memorial to all generations. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, that, the Lord gave that to me at the last, I don't know, not minute, but he just put that in my heart to share that with you. And I'll be speaking about different people today. One of them is Moses, of course. But it's interesting, Egypt, he said he's going to deliver his people, and, we are his people. So he's going to deliver us out of the hands of the oppression of the enemy and out of Egypt and out of the oppression of the enemy. Many of God's people have been oppressed. Many people have been discouraged. There's a huge battle that's going on. But, like Pastor Karen said, but the battle is the Lord's. And so we got to stand our ground and stand strong, because we are strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And so it's not our strength, but it's his strength. So we have to continually press in. And sometimes it's not easy to press in. You don't feel like pressing in. I don't know about you. But sometimes I'm like, wow, give me a break. I don't watch TV for a while. But we got to press in. And a lot of times it's easy to give up. It's easy to, just be weary and well-doing. But if you don't become... weary and well-doing, it says, Paul says, you shall reap. You shall reap the harvest. And I just want to encourage you today. You guys have been faithful, Father's house, to what the Lord's called you to do. And you have a precious church, a precious body. And so keep that in mind, and God has great things for you. And even though it seems like it might be small beginnings, know that your ladder will be greater. And that will happen. That's going to come. And it always seems like in the way that we don't think it's going to come, or the way he's, the Lord's going to do it, but he'll do it. Because he's going to add to the church daily that should be added. And, God doesn't just want anybody here. He wants people that he's called here. That's the difference. And we could get a bunch of people and everything, but that doesn't mean too much unless they're called here. You got to be called to a church. I believe that. And God's just going to, like Pastor Karen said, he's shaking and baking. Everything that needs to be shaken will be shaken. And everything is being shaken right now. But, Just keep keep in mind, you know, pray for the, your president, your former president, and the Lord has his hand on him. And God bless him, and he's a man of courage, and he's a fighter, which God likes. He likes fighters. So just to encourage you, just keep praying for him and praying for his family, and just keep praying for the nation. Pray for the church. Pray for the nation. We've got to keep it in prayer. Amen. Amen. So today I want to share probably a couple of stories, but they'll be short. And about a man named Steve Ryder. And I used to work for him. And actually, you know, he became a minister. He was actually in Australia. He was a bank robber. And he was he got converted in jail, in prison. And the Lord used him mightily. And I was working with him for a little while. Because he started a church in Florida, and I went out there, him and another friend of mine. But this guy, you know, he started talking about all these stories all the things that have happened to him. And one time he was preaching to a bunch of young people, like 800 of them. So he's preaching. At the end, he's about to give the altar call. And all of a sudden, somebody hit him in his stomach. And he was like, he goes, "Who the heck hit me? There's nobody on the stage here." But he got hit in the stomach. And he goes, "All right, well, I'll just have to, you know, shrug it off." And then just keep, and he led a lot of people to the Lord at great altar call. So the next night, here it comes. He's getting ready to get hit. And he did get hit. They hit him again. Whoever, you know, the enemy was doing it. And then, you know, it happened to a third night. And then he had a dream or a vision. And he saw all these intercessors coming to him. And they were, you know, singing and worshiping the Lord. And there was like, he said like 8 in the beginning, and then turned out to be like 16 of them. And they intercessor called him and said, I've sent you help. I've sent you reinforcements. These angels will be around you. You will not be hit anymore." And so he says, "Well, thank God." So they came, the angels came. And they surrounded him. There were big angels, there were small angels, there were, you know, a bunch of them. And they got around him, and then he did his last altar call on the fourth night. And a bunch of people got saved. You know, multitudes of people got saved, and he didn't get hit. So he was thanking the Lord for the reinforcements that came, you know, and through the intercessor that saw those angels. Because she's the one that called him, actually. And she had a vision of that. She had a vision. And, you know, God intervenes when we need him. Amen? Always remember, you know, the battle is the Lord's. And the victory is ours. And just to encourage you, you know, a lot of different things. The Bible says, "In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit," in the book of Joel, "upon your daughters and your sons, and they will prophesy. They will have the old men will have dreams. I've been having dreams at least. I guess I'm old, but and your young men will see visions." So I don't know. I think this is a time where the Lord is doing that. He's pouring out the Spirit upon on the church, because he knows we need this reinforcement, if I could use that word. But you know, I saw was an assembly of angels around a couple of years ago, and they were forming, they were getting ready for battle, And there's like hundreds of them. And it was pretty wild, you know, when you see something like that. And they surrounded the church where I was pastoring. And so God's, you know, like I said, in the last days, he's going to be sending his angels, reinforcements, because he knows that we need them. So we're not alone. We're not alone, of course, with the Lord, but we're not alone as far as angels. I believe this place has have angels in this place. I really believe that. And they're just worshiping the Lord with all of you. So I want to encourage you about that. I've never quote seen an angel, but I've felt their presence. Maybe that's a better way to put it. I felt them, and it's God's going to do great things, and He's going to demonstrate His Spirit like never before. And then I'm going to talk to you about the book of Acts, Paul, the Apostle Paul. And it says that he was standing before King Agrippa, and he started to share his testimony and the journey when he was on Damascus and with the authority and commission from the chief priest. And he says, O king, midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun. That's got to be pretty bright. Shining around me and around those that were with me. And when I call, when we had all had fallen to the ground, a voice speaking to me said, saying to, in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Is it right for you to kick against the goads or the pricks? And Paul goes on to say, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness of the things which you have seen, and of the things which I will not reveal to you, for I will reveal to you, for I will deliver you from the Jewish people, and I will also from the Gentiles, whom I send you now. So God gives Paul, he said to the Lord, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision that you gave me. And he says that to King Agrippa. And, you know, the King Agrippa, he knew the customs, he knew all of what they believed. And so he kind of even said to him, you know, even I say that you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And he says, but to open, this is your commission, your vision, in order to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. And Paul addresses King Agrippa, and he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And in the book of Proverbs 29:18, it says, God says, without a vision, my people perish. And what is the definition of a vision? Definition of a vision is a divine revelation from God, divine insight from heaven. The Bible says, without the in divine revelation, he says, go on, his people will perish. And he keeps going on. And what does a vision do? It gives supernatural direction to the future, events coming, concerning what is coming ahead. It also reveals God's purpose in our lives. And God gave the apostle not only the divine insight about what was coming, but he also gave him a divine purpose. Always remember, when the Lord gives you a vision, he always gives you a purpose with it. Well, what was it to do? The Lord gave him a plan and Paul's purpose of what he was about to do. And before the king. And it goes on to say, Jesus says to him, get up and stand on your feet. He says, I have appeared to you for this purpose. And the purpose was to share the power of the gospel, to turn the people from the power of darkness to the power of light, to open their eyes to see in the power of God, to be transformed from darkness to light. And he says, I was not disobedient, King Agrippa, to the heavenly vision and was given to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Amen. Now I'm going to preach. Here. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the precious, into his precious kingdom of his dear son. And so because we've been taken out of that, we got to remember, you know, we are, you know, as he is, so are we in this world. And we are believers. We are strong in the Lord. We do not look at ourselves the way we should. We look at the way the Lord looks at us. So God has a strategy. God has a purpose for us. And that is the same purpose Paul had, to get them, bring people out of darkness and bring them into the light. That is, we have a commission to win the loss at any cost. And so I believe that the Lord's going to start bringing people here, but I think it's going to be different than other churches. It's going to be something that the Lord just brings people out of other people from being a witness to them, and to just love on them, encourage them, and just be Jesus to them. That's the key. That's what I do every night in Hoover. I'm Jesus to people. And it always works. People are always affected. Many people have been saved. And but it's because of the power of God in me and my heart towards them. So we must continually avail ourselves to people. Wherever we go, divine opportunities will come for us to share the gospel. And we need to invite them to church. We need to invite them out. Because if we don't invite them, nobody else is going to invite them, right? So we got to invite them. We got to have a heart of an evangelist. We have to reach out to people, encourage them to come in. To come in and come out of the darkness and come into the light. I believe as they come into this place, even the worship here is anointed. Because of the worship here, that's going to touch many people. And they've never heard worship like this. But it's going to, they won't be able to explain it, but they know that they're going to be touched by the power of God. So thank you. Thank God for the worship guys you have, the worship team. The people, they're anointed, and that's what we need. We need the anointing that will break every yoke and every bondage off of people. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. So I hear the Lord saying, I am raising a mighty army in this day and this hour. For it is a day, an hour of power. And you shall see the demonstration of my spirit minister to people, touch people, and affect people's lives like never before. For this is the last time, the last hour. And we must be about our Father's business. And it's time to You know, it's time to do what we're called to do. And if not even witnessing, we're, as Paul says in the book of Acts, we're here to be a witness. And we need to be a witness of God's glory, his power. And, you know, many a time people say to me, well, something about you, it's different. They go, I don't know, you got this like kind of glow in your face. I say, well, it's because I'm a Christian. And then they look at me, they go, oh, really? I'm a Christian. I go, yeah, people think they're a Christian because they're not Jewish. But I said, no, it's something different than that. And they said, really? So what does that mean? Tell me. So they'll ask you. They'll inquire when they see your countenance on you because the Lord's on you. And they might not understand it, but there's something different about you. I believe that, and I've seen that. And God's going to, the light, here it is. God's going to make the light brighter in these last days. He's going to turn up the heat. He's going to turn up the oil. He's put fresh oil in their lamps. And the lamp's going to come and just be filled with fresh oil, fresh fire. And I believe that that is going to, people are going to see brightly the light that God has put in us and the oil. For we are the lamps and the Holy Spirit is the oil. And he is going to fill us like never before. I don't know if you remember in the book of Acts chapter 7, it says that Stephen was being stoned because he was preaching the gospel. And, you know, he stood back and at the last minute he said, being full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen cried out. He said, look, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. But notice what it says in the beginning of that, being filled of the Holy Spirit. See, if you really want to see God move, you need to be filled of the Holy Spirit. That's key. You can't. I've come to learn that you can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. Everything I do, I always call on him because I need that. I need him. You know, and we need to know it, Christians. We need to be filled with him, filled with the Spirit, and just, you know, just like the virgins, right? There was 10 of them. 5 of them didn't have their lamps filled. The other ones did. And then when the time came for the bride to come, the ones that were ready went into the wedding, but the ones that weren't, they didn't have any oil. And they said to the other ones, "Well, give us oil." They said, "No, you got to go buy it." But in the time that happened, the door was closed, and I don't want to be one of the people that the door is closed to me because I didn't do my due diligence in being filled with the Spirit of God. And, I, you know, it's so important. Worship is important, but also, I don't know if anybody prays in tongues here, pray in the Spirit. The Bible said to fill your, building your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what that means. Okay, I'm not saying you can't pray in English and be filled with the Holy Spirit, but he's speaking specifically about your prayer language. And I think the more you pray in that, the more you shall see results. I believe that. Every time I've had a situation where I just start praying in the Holy Ghost, things change for the good, for the good reason, and they change. And I say to the Lord, well, I don't know what to do. He goes, start praying in your heavenly language. Pray. And then he starts showing me things and gives me revelation. And every time I've lost things, I pray for the Holy Spirit. And he shows me where it is, where the stuff where I laid everything out. But the Holy Spirit, yeah, he's waiting to be called on. Not only is he waiting to be called on, but your angels are waiting to be called on. And I think as believers, we don't call our angels. We don't call them. Call them in enough. And to utilize them because they're here for us. They're not here for God. He's got plenty of them in heaven. But we need them here, right? So just want to encourage you. Use your angels. Use your prayer language. Be filled. And as you be, as you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will have a vision. Do you have a vision for this place? Is there a vision you have? What's your purpose here? What has God called you to do? What is your vision? You need to have a vision. All of us need to have a vision. Because we, without a vision, the Bible says, he says, my people perish. So we need a vision. Yeah, but I'm one person. I don't need a vision. Yeah, you do. You do. Not just the church, as a corporate church. Yeah, you need to be filled and have a vision. But for all of you, just your own personal vision to see what God has called you to do here. And I believe that he has many different things for you to do. And it might be all different from the other, what other people have, but I believe that he is going to, he's going to give you a revelation of what he wants you to do for him. Because we need the vision. We need the divine insight for what it, the Lord wants to show us things and just give us, these, not only these visions will also show us our purpose, but they will show us divine events coming in the future, what is ahead. It is also revealing God's purpose for our lives. And, you know, without a vision, my people perish. Without a purpose, you can't do what God's called you to do, right? Amen. So, it's quoted by Sita Matara, I'm thinking all these things. My friend, Dennis Tedderino, he passed away. Brad knows him. He was a Mr. Universe guy. And, you know, he got filled in the Holy Spirit in Kenneth Hagin's office. And he goes, you know, Kenneth Hagin's, you know, man of few words. He goes, be filled. The power of God hit him and threw him across the room. And all the way home on the plane, he spoke in tongues for like 3 or 4 hours straight. Just straight, and it was something divine that came on them. So it's interesting, the Lord, you know, how many people are filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit here? Okay, most of you. Okay. Mr. Snyder? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Not yet. I raised my hand. Okay, what a problem. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. More mercy. More power, yep. Yeah, amen. Praise God. Yeah, amen. Well, I'm going to pray for that for you today. And the Lord would fill you to overflowing. How's that? Your cup's going to overflow. Hallelujah. So, Tammy, is that your handsome husband? The guy with the good haircut like mine? We go to the same barber. I noticed that. So, anyway. Praise God. Amen. Congratulations about your marriage, your wedding. You're welcome. So, you know, like, I like Jesus. When he says something, he expects people to do it. And he told Paul to get up off his feet after he knocked him down. And he got up and he said, now do what I've called you to do for this purpose. And Paul started going around that whole area in Samaria and all the, and he started preaching the gospel. He went in the synagogues, he went everywhere. And God showed up when he was doing it. The thing I love about Paul is when he preached, there was always a revival, but there was also a riots. And he stirred things up. Not saying we're going to pray for a riot, but we're going to pray for revival for sure. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Always remember when a vision is given, there's always a divine purpose. involve all these people that have been in darkness will come into the light. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So what I just saw was like lamps. Like lamps, you know, in the Old Testament, whatever, these lamps. And you guys, your lamps are being filled, even though that is a representation of you. But I saw like the lamps of the fire. I saw the burning in the lamps because I see fresh oil being poured out upon this church. For I have called you to be a witness of my power, and he is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And you're going to see the gifts of the Spirit move here. You're going to see the gifts of healing, of faith, of there's so many. They're going to start to manifest. And it's going to be a really powerful thing. And God's going to move mightily because you know your purpose, you know the vision that God's given you, and you know your purpose. And as long as you put that to work, it's all going to happen. Divine purpose. You have a divine purpose in this church. Remember in the book of Habakkuk says, it says in verse 1, that I will stand upon my watch and set myself on the rampart and to watch to see what he will say to me, the Lord, and what I will answer him when I am corrected. Well, nobody needs to be corrected here, right? I'm being good. I looked, but I didn't say nothing. I was getting these looks. Oh, that's okay. And then Habakkuk says, write the vision down and make it plain on the tablets. Can I ask you a question? Have many of you that are believing God for certain things, are you writing down? Are you writing it down? Write it down. Write the vision on the tablets or your notebook paper or whatever, but write it down, because I believe that has a lot to do with faith and just whatever the Lord gives you, always write it down. You know, I was accused of not doing that, but start to doing it. You know, we always make excuses. We're too busy, but write it down. What you're believing God for. Write it down, the vision. Write it down so you may run with it. Write it down and plan on tablets that the day you may run with it and read. For the vision, here it is, the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak. It will not lie because though it seems to tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not be pointed or on the last day of hour. It will not be late, though it tarry. And I know there's many of you out there that have feeling like things have tarried, and things have been, you know, you've been waiting for things to happen. But he still says at the end, he says, it will speak. So it's going to be a reason. Time, God's time is always the right time for anything in your life. Hallelujah. And then at the end of the scripture, it says the proud in soul was right in him, but the just shall live by faith. Amen. So we're going to live by faith. We're going to walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands out when you come up here, lay them out, and just put your palms out. For the Lord's going to anoint you with fresh oil and fresh vision, fresh fire, fresh oil. I keep getting fresh. I keep getting the word fresh oil. Fresh oil, which will bring fresh fire. Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, fresh oil, fresh fire. Fresh oil, fresh fire. Fresh oil, fresh fire. Can't get away from it. Fresh oil, fresh fire. Fresh oil, fresh fire. Thank you. Fresh oil, fresh fire. Fire. Fresh revelation with a purpose. Yes, divine insight with a purpose. Whoa, yes. So your latter will be greater than your former. For he who waits on the Lord, he will renew their strength. They'll mount up as wings of eagles, and they'll walk and not faint. And Lord, I thank you that we are going to be those eagles that rise. For see, you, as you would say and know, that eagles soar. You've not been called to be like chickens in a hen pen, whatever it's called, but you've been called to soar. For my people have been called and anointed to soar like eagles. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. I remember when I was in this meeting, and there was this prophet in the meeting, big man. And I'm trying to remember his name now, but he started teaching, preaching, and then he just stopped. And he went around the room looking at everybody. And he pointed at me, and he said to me, his face was like flint. And he looked at me. He goes, "You will be as an eagle that will soar in and out. You will come in and deliver them out of darkness, and you will bring them out and bring them up. To bring them up where the Lord is seated. For this is a time, this is an hour, when God is going to reveal his power. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's truly time. I believe the Lord wants to fill this place with his glory and his power. Like never before, you will see the latter rain. You will see the glory of the Lord. And when this happens, many people will be touched. Many people will be healed. Many people will be spoken to prophetically by the word of the Lord. Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the book of Samuel, chapter 3, it talks about Samuel ministering to the Lord. And it's, the Bible says there wasn't a lot of revelation back then. The word of God was rare, and it wasn't there the way it should have been. And he said, and as he ministered to the Lord, it said the lamp has gone out in the temple, but the lamp here will never go out because it's a lamp that will burn forever. It's going to be a lamp that will burn forever. For this lamp will not burn out. You will not burn out, but you will burn and be consumed like Moses, like the bush with Moses. You'll be consumed, but you will not be burnt out. Yes, I believe there's a consuming fire. It's coming upon all of you to consume you. But it's not like the bush. It's going to burn away. It's going to just consume and consume. And he's going to gift, fan into the gift, the flame of God. Fan, there's like a fan, fanning. Yes, Father. Thank you for that, Lord. And as the fan keeps going harder and brighter, the light will go brighter. The vision will be clearer. And you will see things that will manifest in their time. But the Lord will do it, and he will manifest his power and his glory. And the light will be bright in here. People are going to have to wear sunglasses. So I just see that the light getting brighter in here. It's getting brighter. Hallelujah. And I'm going to come back and see it. And yeah, that's what I see. Brighter, bright, bright, bright. Yeah, it's going to be bright. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I remember I was in the hospital room visiting my friend's mother, Steve Pardo. And she was in the hospital bed, and you know, she had, I guess, gone through some things. So I went to see her, and I led her to the Lord. I prayed with her. And so, you know, all of a sudden, she got bright. A light came on her. And I left the room, and then she starts calling out to the nurse, please shut these shades. It's too bright here. It's too bright in here. She goes, the shade's already shut. Nope, there's no windows open. And he goes, well, what's that light coming through? He goes, I don't know. But the glory of God filled that room with that lady. When she got saved, her whole countenance changed. And I was there, man. I saw it in the beginning of it. Then I walked out, and I guess it got brighter. So I praise the Lord. Once it happened, amen. And I really believe that's going to happen for you guys. So it's a time. It's a time to burn. It's a time to fan in the gift of flame. It's time. God's going to fan it with his Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I think I'm done. Praise God.